So we are doing that, and we continue to do that by making sure that we take part in the ceremonies of the host community, as well as they taking part in whatever we do in our new location.
You're listening to Earth Matters, environmental justice stories on the Community Radio Network.
Find the rest of that half-hour program on refugees from rising seas at Earth Matters, 3CR Radio Australia. The web address is www.3cr.org.au/earthmatters. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening and caring about our world.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for all your support during our recently completed spring membership drive. We can't do it without you. Thanks to all of our renewing members, our new members, and everyone who helped get KBOO to this fantastic place it is today. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
And this is KBOO, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned to KBOO at 10:15 for Flashpoints today, looking at the classified 28 pages from the 9/11 report. It's a diversion from U.S.-Saudi issues, and also a look at anti-police brutality hunger strikers. And then at 11 on the KBOO Bike Show, guests are Aileen Crotty and Guthrie Straw, who talk about the upcoming Film by Bike. It's a film festival with bike films about bikes. Okay, stay tuned for all that coming up. But right now, we're going to go to Air Cascadia with your host, Chris Andre. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, May 4th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Thanks to everyone out there who became a member, who renewed a membership, who bought a gift membership for a pet or a relative or an elected official. We are so grateful to you for making all of this happen. Thanks to other KBOO members, volunteers, people who came in and gave their time, gave of themselves to keep this station on the air and getting better all the time. KBOO has improved enormously by a geometrical amount. It's astonishing to see the changes, and it's because of you. Thank you so much, members, volunteers, listeners. Today, the weather has got a 50-50 chance of showers, otherwise cloudy, and highs around 69. Northwest winds 9 to 11 tonight. Again, 50-50 and overcast skies, of course. What do we have, like 50-50 overcast skies? It's half cloudy, half not. Well, actually, that's about the situation. Lows around 53 and northwest winds 6 to 10. For tomorrow, very slight chance of showers. Highs near 70 and light winds. And for tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 51. That's it for Cascadia's weather for the next couple of days. We have an extraordinary and outstanding, wonderful guest today. I've been trying to get Ariel Dranger on the line for a while. And now, with this incredible, disastrous fire, 100,000 people being evacuated. This is something that has not been seen before. And in the middle of it all, the Athabasca Chippewa First Nations people already who were already before this fire, their lands, sacred lands, the lands where they harvested wild rice, where they would used to hunt, they used to fish, already damaged irreparably by the tar sands mining up there, and now the fire. Good morning, Ariel. We are so grateful to you for taking time out during very stressful days to talk with us. Can you tell us how this fire is affecting your people?
Yeah, so what's happened is this is the largest sort of urban fire, wildfire that's ever happened in the history of Alberta. This is the largest evacuation that's ever happened, and it's centered around the city of Fort McMurray. The people of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation we have scattered membership, meaning that a large percentage of our membership actually lives in the city of Fort McMurray and in the city, in the township of Fort Chipewyan. And so what's happened is many of our members have lost everything, their entire home. They've been completely displaced. We have members now scattered across the province. There are currently people that are located in other communities like the Fort McKay First Nation waiting for transportation out of that community that has almost run out of food for people and shelter as well. So there's a really, really extreme situation where people are trying to figure out where to go and what to do. And we really don't know how long this fire is going to last. So this is on top of the fact that many of these people have been fighting and challenging the expansion of these projects into the area, which has damaged much of the landscapes, and now we're dealing with the complete loss of everything that they own on top of it. There are a lot of people on social media saying things like this is karma because this is the epicenter of Alberta's tar sands. But what individual people are experiencing, including those that have been advocating for change, are the ones that are losing the most right now. And this is not karma. This is a tragedy that is being faced by over 70,000 individuals who have been displaced by this fire, and up to 100,000, maybe displaced even more.
So is this is this in any way related to the tar sands? Is to look at it from the aerial views, it looks like it's worse than any war zone. But is it related to the tar sands mining operations?
I would say that this is a climate change issue. And of course, we can tie the links back to things like oil and gas development as a way as one of the, one of the largest single contributors to greenhouse gas emissions. But this is climate change. Climate change is not singularly sourced to any area, but absolutely does the development and sort of out of control development have anything to do with it? It in an indirect way, it does. However, this is climate change. You know, this isn't the only forest fire in Alberta. There's another one happening. This is happening earlier in the year, more extreme cases. More extreme fires. There's also other fires happening very similarly to this in India and in China right now. What we're witnessing is global climate change. And part of the symptoms of global climate change that are undeniable are drought and forest fires. Right now, the Athabasca River system, which runs through the heart of Fort McMurray and all the way upstream into the township of Fort Chipewyan, the Athabasca River is lower than it ever has been at this time of the year. It also is not traversable because of ice, and they can't fly people out of the Fort McMurray, Fort McKay area. So we have people that feel as though that they are trapped right now. The forest fire is still raging. They do have it somewhat under control, but there are people that are unsure of how long this is going to last or what the long-term impacts to the entire communities, plural, around Fort McMurray. And many of these communities are First Nations communities.
Ariel,
but
before we let you go, I want to let our listeners know that you're a filmmaker, and I first became interested in your situation for First Nations up there because of a documentary, a film that you made. You want to before I let you go, just let listeners know the way they could have a look at that film and find out about the Athabaskan Chippewa First Nations community in Alberta.
Yep. So I have produced a short documentary called Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation versus Shell, as in Shell Oil. And you can find that on YouTube just by doing that search, Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation versus Shell on YouTube. It's a short 9.5-minute documentary that talks about what our community has been facing in the region. It doesn't have anything to do with forest fires, but more around our issues to try and stop the expansion of oil sands into our traditional territory.
It's a beautiful film, and it's a very, very sad film. First time I saw it, I watched it again, and then again, I watched it three times. I highly recommend this. Have a look at it. It'll introduce you to exactly what it looks like there on the ground. Thank you so much, Ariel. My guest has been, of course, Ariel Duranger, is with the Athabaskan Chippewa First Nations, and thanks so much for being with us today. We go now to Tom Thank Carpenter you. With Heart of America Northwest. Hanford is sickened workers again. 6 more workers sickened by radioactive fumes. It just seems like every time I check out a website anywhere, if I Google Hanford, more people have been sickened. There is real trouble at Hanford, and it is being colossally downplayed. Tom, can you talk a bit about, first give us an update from your viewpoint, and then a couple other questions that we have.
Well, sure. Yeah. First, it's I'm executive director of Hanford Challenge, and Heart of America Northwest is a beloved colleague of ours. But
Excuse me.
Over there.
Yes, I've written it down wrong. I apologize for that.
Yeah, no problem. We share goals. Hanford is you know, as you pointed out, a big mess. It's one of the most contaminated nuclear facilities in the United States and in the world, and it continues. To basically mess up, and recently, you know, tanks have been failing, even the newer double shell tanks, which were supposed to last a long time. So those are starting to fail, and workers are getting exposed at a furious rate. So in the last week, even less than a week, there have been 33 workers sent for medical evaluation because of breathing in toxic vapors coming out of these tanks. Now, what's interesting about this is that all of these workers were outside of the so-called, you know, vapor control zone. So, you know, the company set up these, well, you have to wear respirators inside this zone, but outside you're okay. Well, people are getting exposed 2 at a time, 6 at a time, et cetera, and Hanford just refuses to acknowledge that these exposures are happening and expand these zones and protect these workers, which is why, you know, our group, along with the union at Hanford, Local 598, the Pipefitters, and the Washington State Attorney General, have taken Hanford to court, federal court, in order to get a court order to force Hanford to protect its own workers, which is an amazing thing. But, you know, here we are 6 months into this lawsuit, and we're still fighting the government on this.
Tom, I got a question for you. Hanford, apparently, now they're making it into a park, a national park, so tourists can come and get sick as a dog from wandering around among the tanks, I suppose. It's not clear to me exactly what the idea is and how they're going to manage this fiasco. But there's the other thing, too, is that they're going to have tourists wandering around, fumes blowing all over the place, and now they want to bring in even more nuclear waste from reactors around the country. How is all of this possible? It seems
Well, Hanford's very interested in image control. It wants to look good, and essentially you've got politicians and PR people running the Hanford site at this point, and you wonder if there's any there technically, because you know, we've spent $20 billion as taxpayers to clean up or to treat the high-level nuclear waste at Hanford just in the last, you know, 20 years, and yet not one teaspoon of waste has been cleaned up. So all that money is going somewhere. Well, mostly it's you know, being mismanaged, and no cleanup is really happening as far as that high-level nuclear waste. Now, the tourism part is simply to make Hanford look good, and so they've, you know, designated the first reactor at the Hanford site, called the B reactor. It's going to be a museum, and it's going to be a park, and people can go out there and look at it. And, of course, it will be used to promote nuclear technologies and nuclear weapons and you know, tout Hanford's history as savior of the world, even as the place is, you know, the most contaminated, unremediated site out there. So it's kind of curious. I agree with your assessment that this is a stupid waste of money and it's putting people needlessly in harm's way. And I certainly wouldn't take my children out there, you know. But it's so Hanford to do it this way, right? They just are very much into how they look, not into how they are. And the fact that they're poisoning their own workers, you know, they've poisoned downwinders, and the community continues to suffer from exposures, et cetera. This needs to stop. And you know, yesterday the Attorney General of the state of Washington said, it's shameful, and I certainly agree with that description.
Tom, thanks so much. We're out of time. You want to just give listeners the info on how they can stay on the mark with this? This is a story. This is something that has not been obviously been adequately reported. Hanford is a disaster, and it can, at this point, if we continue, it can only get worse. Can you give us the websites where you can find out what's really happening up there?
Yeah, so, you know, our website, we keep people up to date. And there's a news portion. We have a Facebook. It's hanfordchallenge.org. You can find us on Facebook at Hanford Challenge. And also another excellent resource is King 5 TV. Just go to King 5 TV. They've got a reporter there, Susanna Frame, who stays right on top of this stuff all the time. So if you're really interested in wanting to know what's going on, those are two websites to be able to follow what's happening.
Thank you so much. Tom Coven is my guest with Hanford Challenge and at American Northwest. Other great people working on it. Can't remember the mare's nest of my own notes sometimes. This has been Cascadia for Wednesday, May 4th. Engineering for us today, Tommy Dean. Thanks, Tommy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.